We have a basketball program that we all expect to compete in the Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in the Big Ten.
Final four! I didn't think you was going to be this good, but it feels good!
First, I need that national championship.
Welcome on in, everybody, to the boardroom. Maddie here alongside Josh. Johnny is currently in the Big Apple, and Sam's unable to join us. So Josh and I will hold down the fort for now. We'll see if we can get any special guests to join us later on. But whoo, what a night, ladies and gentlemen. A 98-89 victory over FAU. A lot to talk about this one. Obviously, we're going to lead with, you know, the 33 and the 33 from Damask and Terrence. But that was just so much fun to watch. I know Johnny sent us a lot of points for us to talk through. You know, we talked about, obviously, it is the Damask game, but Terrence is playing like an All-American on both sides of the floor. But before we even talk like X's and O's or stats and whatnot, I think just that was fun to watch. That was just really fun to watch.
Two straight MSG games for the Jimmy V Classic that, like, really fun to watch. And maybe it's really fun to watch because the outcome of the game ended up in our favor.
Right. Where you're a little bit down in the sense that, like, going to the Texas game last year, we had some tough non-conference losses. And same again this year with Marquette, where it's like, kind of, where are we at this year? And this win kind of gets you back on track where it's like, yes, no, we are good. This win reminds you that.
Yeah, absolutely. And we don't want to, like, obviously repeat what happened last year after this game, but it was a fantastic game for our team. I mean, we have two guys that we can now trust. Mr. Consistency Terrence, who's going to put up 20
games. We're not bringing back the trust rankings.
We're not.
It's more of a verbal. It's a verbal commitment to trust.
And the other one is not Coleman. Sorry, Johnny. I just needed to do that from the start. Did his notes say anything about Coleman?
I think we just kind of passed over Coleman.
Shocking. But Damask, what a performance. I don't think not like any Illini fan could have seen that one coming. I bet there was people inside the locker room that were like, yeah, this is going to come. They talked all offseason about how he built himself to be like a scoring guard rather than just kind of like a small forward, power forward player. He got to the spot that he wanted to shoot and he made every single bucket. I mean, he went 15 for 21 from the field. That's absolutely insane.
Yeah.
That's wild. And no one saw it coming.
I hope that's a little bit of sarcasm, but it's nice because, again, some of these transfers, particularly from the smaller schools in recent years, obviously in the Brad tenure, have not worked out. And so I think going into the year, it's like, yeah, what are we going to get with Damask? What are we going to get? But it was awesome to see him play that bully ball. I'm not sure which of the commentators talked about it today, where we're sort of getting rid of the whole run a specific, or at least tonight, it was get rid of the whole run a specific play and just take advantage of the mismatches and the larger Damask on the guards that he's going up against and just get to your spot and play a little bit of bully ball. And I think you saw that again with Terrence as well. I wrote in the group chat, like, I love it when we run the ball with Terrence. Like, I love it when he just gets the
ball. Run the damn ball.
He just gets the ball at the top of the key or the top of the three-point line. It's like three dribbles, puts the head, or not even three dribbles, just puts the ball in his hand like a ball carrier in football, puts his head down, and it's essentially unstoppable. It looks like a running back, so it's so awesome to watch that. And this tonight, it actually did work where we played a little bit of hero ball with our two guys. Obviously,
for sure.
In years past, where there is no offense and it's stagnant and it's like, who are you getting the ball to? The hero ball worked tonight, right? The hero ball worked, which was awesome to watch.
Absolutely. There was multiple points in the game where you thought like FAU was going to crack. FAU was not going to do they were just going to do their thing where you saw it during March Madness and like sort of take over the game, but it never happened. And I think I sent a message to a coworker earlier this morning who was asking about the game. And I was like, there's part of me that just thinks that they're still just a Conference USA. I get they're now in the AAC. They're still like a Conference USA team. They weren't highly ranked recruits. They weren't good players. They just had, as we've talked about many times, a very lucky run. Not that lucky, but they had
lucky in the sense of you need bounces to go in March.
Exactly.
No matter if you're Duke or Blue Blood or you're Florida Atlantic. Yes. That is
right.
Correct.
And then they kept the team that's the Final Four team. That's better than anywhere we've gone in the last 20 20 years.
I essentially have the same big dumb brain thought where I'm like, I don't need to look at a spread. I don't need to look at rankings. It's Florida Atlantic University versus the University of Illinois, which is the 11th best program of all time. And I don't care what Dusty May did last year. And it's just like my big dumb brain. And then you look at the spread and it's Florida Atlantic by 3.5 points. And then my big dumb brain just can't even like comprehend that Illinois would ever not be favored against FAU. But they have looked legit this year. I obviously haven't had a chance to watch a ton of their games, but they have some really impressive non-con. Like they're going to be the team. You're ready for this? They're going to be the team you don't want to play.
Oh, no way.
In the postseason, they're going to be the team
you don't want to play. The hiring team you don't want to play.
But yeah, that is my big dumb brain where I'm like, I don't care what they did last year. Like, it's Florida Atlantic. They got lucky. And this is great for college basketball, though. And in a sport like college basketball or college football where there's not a ton of parity, where the blue bloods are usually the blue bloods, this is a good thing. This is cool that a team like Florida Atlantic can continue this momentum into the next year. Dusty May's probably going to hit the dusty old trail, you know, I would imagine.
He signed a 10-year contract, though.
Yeah. There's another coach who signed a 10-year contract at that same school that didn't stick around, so I don't put a ton of stock into that. But it's good for college basketball, except for tonight. And again, I go into my stupid, dumb brain. I'm like, obviously, I have nothing against Dusty May, but I'm like, fuck Dusty May. Like, yeah. No, like, screw, you know, and it's, again, it's my big, dumb Illinois orange brain. And again, on the post game, they're like, it's an upset. I'm like,
They beat us last time. We got Kofi after they beat us last time. Hopefully, right. Beating them this time doesn't mean we're like something terrible happens in the Illini equation. Like,
oh, God.
This usually means, I don't know what, like two more players that we didn't expect to go into the transfer portal for football.
Well, now we get their Vlad Golden. We get their big man, is how it works.
Okay.
They're
going to sign a 5-star recruit.
Really?
I think that's like just like what's going to happen. That's the math. Comparison? Yeah.
Is that the comparison? Yeah. So, okay. We talked, you know, Golden, who did have a career high, but we can talk about the man who did guard him. Like, we have to talk about Coleman. He's like, at least tonight, he's like that frustrating kid of yours that he just pisses you off and he pisses you off. But then he does that one thing at the end of the day and you're like, aw, right. He hit that three. He hit the couple of clutch free throws. He had a couple of nice defensive possessions down the stretch there that make the turnovers and the other four bricked threes a little bit more palatable. And that's the flavor that stays in your mouth is the last 2 minutes and not the frustrating first X amount of minutes that he played.
Frustrating, yes. Every time he touches the ball and has to think when he's holding the ball, I feel frustration is definitely the word that comes to mind. But there's the diminishing marginal returns that occur when you take him off the floor on defense. And while it's not like he's the best defender ever, he is still fighting for loose balls. He is matching up way better with Golden than Dane could do. And he's still not frustrating. So like, I always see that. I mean, there's beat writers that are constantly putting out the plus minus when Coleman's on the floor versus when Coleman's off the floor. And the plus minus statistic is not one that you can rely on, but like, he is still very impactful because like what's coming off the bench right now is not great. And like, yeah. It was I think Robert tweeted it out. And the reason I know he tweeted this out is because I didn't have Do Not Disturb on right now. And so before Coleman shot that three for that like very clutch three, I was like, oh, this is going in sick. And so I went on Do Not Disturb for the rest of the game.
You got to know by now after years of having him, you know, tweet notifications on for him. He's at these games and he's tweeting and our TVs are 2 minutes behind. Right. The no. Yes. Yeah. Relating to the wide open three. And I don't disagree with anything that you said. Yes, defensively, he's the man that you want to be playing most of the minutes in the five as from a defensive position. Dane is a little bit more of a liability out there defensively. He's a little bit more heavier set. He's a little bit slower, right?
He wants to try to block.
Forwards.
He just wants to try to block everything. He doesn't just jump. Like, just jump up. He's just, like,
leaning.
Well, I
wanted Coleman to do that, too, when he took the attempted charge. And again, that's nothing against Dane. We're going to get back into some mid-major games here, and he's going to put up, like, a quadruple-double. But he is your best defensive center big man, whatever positionless name you want to call it. And as frustrating as he is on offense, you have to play him. I mean, he played, I think, 26 minutes tonight. You're going to have, 26 minutes. You have to continue to play him that amount of minutes. You know, Dane only played, 11. And then from the big men, we're looking at three from Hansberry. So
yeah,
it's
and
most
Hansberry's
of the minutes
look good. He still looks like a little, like, lost puppy.
Well, he's a freshman, So that's all right.
We did talk Domask, like, more at the start here. And I just want to make sure, like, Terrence put on an all-American performance, and that's what Johnny wrote to us. But, like, he looked amazing on defense, and, like, when it mattered, he made all of his free throws. Free throws, like, were probably the biggest thing that, like, were holding us back last year and held us back the first few games. We were like, oh, no, this is going to become an issue. Yeah. But our 24- and 25-year-old started to play, like, 24- and 25-year-old and make a free throw.
If I recall correctly, last year – some free in the Jimmy V, it was the free throws down the stretch as well that mattered in the comeback. We hit a couple of clutch free throws there. That is nice to actually have Terrence at the line in the last 2 minutes. And I just felt confident like he was going to hit those. And I think he went 4 for 4 in those final few free throws there at the end. And if he's getting to the line, I think he only averages, I think they said 6 free throws a game. Get that puppy. Get that sucker.
Another text I sent out today was like,
you got unlimited texts in. You're sending a lot of texts.
Here's a dumb thing.
You don't have to pay 99 cents on those?
I do. But here's a dumb thing. Maybe a dumb brain thing of me. How come refs can't see the same contact that they would see on like maybe a post move than like a drive to the lane? Cause like every time Terrence drives, the same contact that's happening on maybe a reach or maybe like, why is that? Like, is it going too fast for these old people running down the floor?
Hey.
Like...
Well, I don't know. I've never refereed a game. I think I've always said the irony of when a call is wrong and the entire world gets to see the right call and everyone, but the only people that actually need to see the call, see it. So every American that's watching the game sees that the ref missed a call. The only person that needs to see that video, though, is the ref, though, and they're the only people who don't see it. So I always thought that was a pretty interesting paradox. It's a hard game. I don't know. I think refereeing is an incredibly difficult thing. These dudes are going 100 miles an hour, and there should be an expectation to miss it. They really need to just increase replays in college basketball. They really just – No, I'm not joking. I'm not kidding.
This is a take you have?
We need to be reviewing more things in college basketball. If we are stopping games in college football every 6 minutes – and we're getting it
right. That's the worst part of the game.
But would you rather get it right or get it wrong?
I mean, they still don't get it right.
Oh, I'm going to assume in this fun little thought experiment, I'm assuming that when you review it, you're going to get it right more times than not.
Let's play out this scenario. You're saying
we beat Miami. That's how we play out the scenario. We beat Miami in the tournament.
Okay. Those replays I'm good with, like making sure the right team has the ball. But you're saying if someone drives to the lane and no foul was called, okay, maybe miss shot or make shot, you still want someone to be looking back to see if there was a foul called?
Not everything like that. First of all, you should get a challenge, but there are way more, like, we should be able to review more out of bounds or more shot clock or more. They can do the goaltending now, I know, but there are 1,000 things that you can review in college football
and
the NFL.
I wish the Bulls like kept my attention more than like the first 3 games of the season, where I could like have a good opinion on how the challenge call has impacted the NBA. Cause like, I have a feeling that, I would have a better opinion right now, but I don't hate the challenge idea. Oh, I forgot to send the link to our special guest.
Oh, is our special guest trying to
enter the
arena?
Yeah. Right, but let's continue if he doesn't join. Cause I
okay,
think
yeah,
I,
we'll,
I
we'll talk in the meantime. I'm just kind of looking through some of these notes because Johnny was in New York, which is kind of remarkable that we won, given the fact that he actually traveled to the game, given his luck.
He only can do it in New York.
That's right. He's flawless in New York. Is gambling's legal in New York, right?
Yeah, but I don't know if they have the same apps as they do here. I don't know if DK or FanDuel is on.
He probably put 3 weeks rent on Illinois Moneyline today.
Oh, definitely. Here's my big takeaway from the game, and we can get more into details about it, though. Today's game was a very high-paced, high-energy, like very much more intense than the Rutgers game on Saturday. And I felt that both like gameplays were like obviously completely different styles, and we were able to win both of them. Like, we can win the fast paced, high scoring game, or we could just lock down on defense and shut people down. Like, that was my main takeaway of these last two games, I would say. Like, it's great to see that we're able to do that.
Well, one does not simply come to the rack and play your desired style of basketball. Oh, excuse me, the Jersey Mike's have it your way, whatever arena. That is true. It was two very different styles of play, kind of grind it out a little bit, play some defense, slow it down versus let's shoot 70% from the field in the second half and only be up by 6 points and 8 points and clenching onto our butts going into the under four and having two guys put up their career highs there. So yeah, that is a good point. And I mean, I'm going to say when you get to March, even though it is many months away, you want to be able to win games in many different ways. So you want to be able to win games by shooting 40% from three and not missing free throws. You want to be able to win games by shooting lights out. You want to be able to win games by just playing defense.
Can you announce yourself?
Here with Johnny.
What's up, boys?
There's no way we'll be able to hear you.
We can just start talking.
Then again, I gotta put him on my face.
Just start talking.
Okay, Johnny and I are here. I just ran into Bricker randomly. He was coming the other way than Johnny was coming. And Maddie, were you here last year?
No, I wish Josh, I was. Josh was.
So we are in the exact. You can see it. We're in, Josh, you can see the exact spot we were last year celebrating the Texas win.
Great place to have beers. Give us.
We haven't gotten our beers. We met over here to get beers. All I have is my Diet Pepsi.
Give one takeaway that's not about TSJ or Domask.
One takeaway that's not about either one of them?
Yeah.
The general feel of the crowd. So I put this on Twitter. Like, it's yes, like for this game, there's a bunch of UConn fans over here and there's a bunch of UNC fans over here and they're scattered around the upper deck just like the first game. But then there's local people, just like last year, who are here just to watch basketball, right? Like, they're just here to see. So, like, they didn't really even make any noise until Shannon's dunk in the first half. And then that brought them out of their seat because that's just what they're here for. And then I forget, Illini player fell down on defense and half the crowd was like, oh, like, is he going to make this shot after he broke his ankle? You know, it's that kind of basketball crowd. So to come into that environment and be the team that everybody's like, oh, this is good basketball. Oh my God. Like,
oh yeah,
the feeling, or you just walking through the crowd and the people are like talking about Illinois. Oh, tell them what the person by you said. Or was it Bricker who told
them? Yeah, I think it was Bricker. You said.
Somebody had said, God, this Illinois team, they just don't miss free throws. Oh.
What? This is their first.
You know, they've never seen us before.
Can we get them like a pin that says, like, this is my first Illini game or something like that?
It's just a whole bunch of people who were just here to watch some basketball. Or was that FAU fans that were saying that?
Yeah, we were saying, like, this, FAU fans for the first time are definitely thinking right now.
Yes.
The Illinois team.
Just
do not miss free.
So I got to sit by some, like, the FAU students. But it's not like a student section, but it's just like a group of 10 guys who, as I told Bricker and Johnny, like, they discovered basketball in March. And, you know, they don't know pain yet. They only know, oh, yeah, we're just this team that runs the Final Four. And they just kept expecting themselves to come back. They weren't getting frustrated, nothing else. Like, here we go, here it comes. And then they felt their first moment of, like, oh, God, we just got – like, they, you know, we kept coming back and kept coming back, and then we couldn't get any stops, and they lost. So, how loud is the game? Because this is the beginning of the second half for UNC.
We can't hear the game. We can only hear you. You're yelling.
Oh. Yeah, no, we can hear you good. We can
super loud in here.
Really? Wow, Johnny, how much? No, I can't do that at all.
It's funny how sterile of an environment it was for the first game, and then now it's completely full of UNC and UConn fans.
Yeah. That's pretty fun.
I think it's the best feeling ever, just watching the game, having no stake in it, and just being like, Hutchinson won. It feels like a tournament. Like, you won the first game, now you're self-scouting.
What's that feeling?
I said to Berger earlier, like, I wish this was a two-night event.
Yeah.
And, like, tomorrow was the winner of this.
Yeah, like the Virginia-Illinois Baylor of Vegas.
If tomorrow was another game, I'd lose my mind.
Well, hold on. Speaking of Vegas, Johnny, I know you can't bet on Illinois in our home state here, so how happy are you going to be on that flight home tomorrow? And
Was he asking? Oh, yeah. Let's just say it was a free game. The flight was fairly free. It was a profitable engagement, just like Brad Underwood said to Josh.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah, Bradison Square Garden.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, there's just some. I mean, again, like, it's really rare to go to a game where they're coming back and they're coming back and they're shooting free throws and they're, you know, and I just said this to my friend the fans, like, I was confident. Like, Damask wasn't going to miss. Shannon was going to make. I watched the free throw. I never watched free throw. I always hide behind a wall and stare at the floor.
I mean, it was like how you described Marquette when we were playing them, right? And they just answered. And this team, same thing. Okay.
Okay, there's no way you can't hear that.
I don't.
You really can't hear that?
I can't, we just hear you yelling.
I hear, it sounds like you guys are like working
so hard.
It was like
how they were doing the halftime show with the Jimmy V speech so loud, and they're on the floor. I'm like, how is this not?
Exactly.
I don't hear anything that's not you guys talking about Illinois right now. And honestly, my dumb brain, when you guys logged on, I was like, how are you guys still in the stadium? How are they letting you still in the stadium? I forgot for a moment there's a second game. I don't even care about that.
And this is, I mean, UConn, it's what, hour and a half from campus? So, UConn brought a ton of people, so it is more full than it was last year.
I believe that. That's crazy. Pretty fun, guys. Any other takeaways? Otherwise, we'll let you get back to a celebration.
We might be really good.
I love that. Thanks, gentlemen, for tuning in. You're welcome.
All right, anytime. We're gonna get our beers now.
All right, safe travels back, boys.
See you, gentlemen.
Take care. Oh, man, that was awesome.
Not jealous whatsoever.
You're not jealous, but obviously they're yelling because it's super loud, but you can just – there's just that energy that you have when you go to a game and your team wins a big win that you can't get that when you're on the couch, right? Like, you can feel that excitement and you can be happy and you can high five and whatnot, but you can't feel that energy unless you're there. You know, like we felt that in Vegas, or you felt last year in New York, or even when you're at State Farm Center for a game. It's like, you just can't feel that unless you're there. And it's like, what an awesome feeling. Again, Johnny took the risk, spent the money to travel, to probably gamble, you know, half of his 401k on Illinois, and to get it, you know, on the right side of things again is fantastic. As Robert said, we might be good. Again, we err on the side of caution here on this podcast of big sort of predictions about what the team is. College basketball is funky. We will drop a game where we go, oh boy, here we go. You know, but the signs are encouraging. Again, I will even go back to Marquette and not call it like a moral victory, but say, hey, we can hang with a Marquette team. You know, a nice win on the road in Piscataway, like you said, doing it, grinding it out a little bit differently and pulling away, quite frankly, not even a close ball game towards the end there. This team can win in multiple ways. You're obviously not going to have two dudes put up 66 points every night. You know, we're going to have a game where Terrence is going to shoot really poorly. You're going to have a game where you're not going to shoot 40% from three, AKA every other game ever. So this should not be the expectation to hang almost triple digits on a top 10 team. But maybe we don't have to be as concerned about the offense now.
No, not at all. And I think that's something that can make us fall asleep well tonight, is knowing that we have an offense we can probably trust or be confident in. I think many people would have had a takeaway coming out of this three-game road trip that and I think Johnny wrote this to us, but I totally agree with it, where we needed one at least from FAU Tennessee for our resume. And for the road trip in total, like going 2-3 was probably like what we needed. Like going
two out of three.
Yeah. Two out of three. But taking the first two just makes me want to be greedy. Like what can't we do? Like
it's every, we talk about this every, it's the Illinois.
Yeah. It's once you start a winning streak.
7-5 now on 8-4 or 9-3. Yeah. It's this. Absolutely. So you turn your attention now to Tennessee. And again, we are an underdog. We're probably going to be I would anticipate about the same, maybe a 3-point favorite or underdog, excuse me.
Usually what you get when you're on the road is 3 points. So I was assuming that they I'm add 3 more points. Like,
it's up to 6. I think it's just probably like a little bit too much.
One, Tennessee's really good.
Like, they are really good. They are very good.
They have like the other best wing in the country on their team in Dalton Knack.
Yeah. You're right. It could be closer to 5 or 6. ESPN gives them a 70% chance. It doesn't look like the spreads typically come out the day before. I might just be feeling the A&M FAU, excuse me, high right now. It's we're an even team on a neutral court. We're 3-point dogs. It might be closer to 5 or 6, but it does take a little bit of pressure now where you don't feel like you have to go into what is going to be a hostile environment on a Saturday morning, a true road game, and have to win for your resume come March.
Yeah, and it's not a must win. It's just it would be very nice to have, and would like elevate us from like probably like where we were last year, like right on that like 7 line.
December 5th.
No, we did that. We already talking about seeds. We already
talking seeds.
But I'm just saying, like
December 5th,
having a win over Tennessee and FAU takes you from like that middle tier, above the 8 seed, but probably below.
Well,
the
you don't know
seed.
Because you haven't played conference games. You
but
don't
I'm saying
know
we have the same team as last year. It's gonna be the same outcome.
What? Okay. That is, you're selling the college football committee. I'm like, we already know what's gonna happen. We just want the four, but
gets hurt, then yeah, we shouldn't be in the college football playoff.
I have a feeling Illinois basketball will not be in the college football playoff this year. No, it brings, you're right. A Tennessee win brings you down another seed. What seed we don't know because we haven't played the conference games. You know what? If Illinois goes,
we're 1-0. We're on
if
our
Illinois
pace to go
goes whatever 16-4, and that's depending on the Big Ten, we'll call it a 3 seed. Maybe that non-con win, if you beat Tennessee, brings you down to a 2 seed. But if you're 10-10 in the Big Ten and you're on the fringe and you're a 9 or a 10 seed, maybe it brings you down to an 8 seed. So yes, I agree with you. It brings you a seed
down,
but you don't know what seed yet.
Okay, I don't hate your disagreement with me or like contradiction. What I will say, though, is what we learned, and I had this thought before Johnny wrote it to us, is that there are 7 people that Brad trusts or will put into the lineup, and then he's just trying to make sure people aren't in foul trouble or give someone a breather. So hopefully, like, we finish the non-con where, like, we can get maybe some more trust out of Dane, more trust out of Imani and DGL. DGL didn't play against Rutgers. He played 2 minutes today, like...
It's fine. We saw a non-con DGL, but Brad is typically, he's always been like less guys on the rotation.
It just tightens so quickly though. It's like he kept it open at the beginning of the season. And now I just feel like it's
a
right
little
there.
Loosen. It'll obviously loosen a little bit against Colgate and Fairleigh Dickinson. Yeah. You've got kind of 2 more tune-up games and you have a little bragging rights sandwiched in between there. But Brad has always played a tight rotation this year, you really can do that. You're old, you're experienced, you're grizzled. You know what? I say do that. And next year, you say, fuck it. We will deal with next year. Right now, you play your tight rotation. You play your dudes. You give yourself every chance at winning. And you fill in the spare minutes when inevitably someone will run into foul trouble. Inevitably, someone, unfortunately, is probably going to get hurt. And, you know, someone's going to have to step up and play minutes. But if you can get it down to the 7-8 man rotation right now, Player guys, Brad. Player guys.
Do you know whose one role looked amazing tonight? Justin's role looked amazing tonight. He
Justin.
Came in. Justin and Ty split their minutes at point guard. It's like they're probably like right around 20-20, I would say, at the end. But
it was 22-24.
And Justin's not coming in to be point guard on offense. He's probably coming in to guard the point guard on defense. And he played great. He shot efficiently and he had pretty much lockdown defense. I think he did come into some foul trouble, but like, if you're a bench player, like I would want to be aggressive in those scenarios, like as much as you can, because your job is to make sure that the starters can come back in. I'm not saying Ty's like lockdown is like, we need him in on offense.
He didn't score tonight.
But he's not going to score, but he's not going to score. We need him to score, but he's not going to score. We're not going to trust him to score.
If you're you put up 98 points tonight and your third leading scorer had 10 points.
Right. So that's just not going to happen.
you went 33, 33, 10, 9, 4, 4, 3, 2. You know, that's not sustainable. That is not sustainable. You're not going to have Terrence and Damask put up 33 each night. And I don't have that. No one has that expectation. It's fun that could happen tonight. But someone will have to be that we talked about. Someone will have to be that every year. We say, who's the offense going to come from? Who's the second guy the offense is going to come from? We know it's Damask, but now we have to say, who's the third guy? Who's the fourth guy? It could be Coleman if he wanted it to be. All right. It could be Luke if he wanted it.
His role looks amazing too. I mean, he didn't shoot that many shots, but he's like
he didn't have to. He didn't have to. Again, but yeah. There will be nights where we kind of need Luke to take 7, 8, 9 threes and hit 3, 4, or 5 of them. So again, it is nice to see Illinois win on different fronts over the last couple days when you compare the rack to the Madison Square Garden win. Anything else, Josh? Otherwise, we'll kind of wind it down here.
Two last points. One, tonight's broadcasting crew is my favorite one in sports. Obviously, they're the number one ESPN. They're so, like, Dan and Jay are the best. Like, they call the game well, fairly, and it doesn't seem biased whatsoever. And they're just, like, the most knowledgeable people. It was amazing. Second, obviously, this was the Jimmy V Classic. Amazing charity. I mean, the speech is electric every single year that you listen to it. I probably listen to it multiple times, but great charity. If you have the ability to donate to the Jimmy V Foundation, because that's the reason why we're playing in this game at Madison Square Garden, and we just got a quad one win.
Absolutely. What is it? Do three things every day: smile, laugh, and cry. I'm horribly misquoting his speech, but I know he emphasizes, you know, a full day of doing three things. So absolutely a wonderful man, a wonderful charity, a wonderful event that Illinois is two for in their last couple of years. So yeah, that was fun. Again, I can't imagine the energy that the boys must be feeling at MSG right now. Again, they just get free basketball right now to watch the Duke and UConn game. But awesome win, everyone. Thanks for listening. Big non-con showdown on Saturday morning. So we'll hopefully chat with you soon next week after that game and look ahead to... Did you feel that chill right there? A little bragging rights. Oh, boy. Oh
that
boy.
St. Louis wind.
Sends a shiver down my spine every year, Josh. Thanks for listening to this episode of The Boardroom, everyone. We'll catch you on the next one. ILL.